This episode of OutlanderCast is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. Okay, you guys feeling like a hot mess express by now?
I sure am. I'm not going to lie.
I'm kind of like all over the place, and I can't control many things going on in my life. I can't control my kids. I can't control the news. I can't control the pandemic. But I can control what I wear, what makeup I put on my face, and what I eat, and what time I wake up, and if I go for a walk or not. There's few things in my life I can control. For anyone else out there who suffers from anxiety, these are very important things. And because of that, I want to let you know that MinuteWithMary.com is still running strong. I'm still shipping. I'm still doing all the things. We're being very, very safe about it. It's makeup, it's skincare. So if you want to have an in-home spa night, or if you want to zhuzh yourself up, if you're doing any video conferencing, I've got you. Search the hashtag Minute with Mary. And for now, the month of April, I've got two specials going on. You can either have the Outlander eyeshadow palette, or any eyeshadow palette of your choice, at a 15% off discount, or my 4D Epic Mascara. That has just been like the blown away champion of what people love at MinuteWithMary.com. Mm-hmm. So we said, you know what, let's keep it in for April as well. You can get either of those products at a 15% discount by going to MinuteWithMary.com/discount. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say for that lass we are. Mary of soul, she sailed on a day over the seas, oh star.
I shouldn't even do that voice.
Don't do that voice ever again.
Well, especially with this episode.
Don't do that voice ever again.
Goodness gracious. P.S. guys, as we hear Rae Yarbrough sing ever so tenderly, I got to see her husband, Bear McCreary, the composer of the Outlander score. He just did the cutest little thing. He had his daughter and he create a fort in his like home studio. Mm-hmm. And it was just all so stinking cute. So if you're not following Bear McCreary online, he's a funny guy. And he's also a father. And just like the rest of us, is locked up inside. So it's a cute thing to check on out. But of course, we are here today to talk about Outlander and to talk about this gut-wrenching episode.
Yes.
The Ballad of Roger Mack, which show watchers and book readers into show watchers alike are all nonstop talking about. We are cursing the fact that any sort of tissue product is out of stock right now, because Lord knows we needed the tissues to sop up our tears after this episode and after the countless rewatches that you probably have had. So for those of you, of course, who don't know myself and Blake, we podcast. We have a studio in Rhode Island. And we love to podcast about shows that inspire us, that bring us joy, that help us connect with people. And we started podcasting several years ago when our little lad was a baby, because we didn't know if anybody in the world was going to watch this show called Outlander aside mm-hmm. from us. And we thought maybe we'll be able to connect with somebody else in this world who watches it. And little did we know that it would take off. The show took off tremendously. We now have a thriving and beautifully talented staff from around the world who write for us, who handle our social media, who help us plan events. And Blake and myself come to you now twice a week in season, and we podcast about each episode. So this week we're going to be talking all about episode 507, The Ballad of Roger Mack. And if in the meantime you are twiddling your thumbs and you're like, I want to, you know, rewatch all of Outlander, and maybe you're brand new to Outlander Cast, you can see all of our previous episodes by going to maryandblake.com. We podcast about a bunch of other shows. You can also check out the slew of great blog posts that our bloggers are bringing it throughout all the stuff we got going on in the world. They are still bringing it every single week. We've got a brand new post up actually all about Murtaugh, written by our blogger Anne Gavin. So if you're a Murtaugh lover, like so many of us are, you're going to want to check that out at OutlanderCast.com. And for now, we're going to jump on into the show.
All right.
friend. Tell me anything, anything and everything.
Everything and anything. You know, for everybody who's listening to the podcast, we've been having a lot of technical difficulties with our live streaming as of late, and it's really frustrating me to like the nth degree. So just bear with me as I power through here. Okay, so the first one, actually, just wanted to remind you guys that you can go to maryandblake.com and check out all the great podcasts that we have there, including all of our social media. Just look up Mary and Blake, and we will be there. We'll have some fun with you. We'll chat with you about Outlander and all the other things that we talk about. So go there. All right, Mary, let's release the hounds, and let's talk about the first one on the website. Comes from Shelley. Shelley says, I want to add a comment regarding the song Clementine.
What was that song, Shelley? It wasn't Shelley, though. Thank you for the sunshine and the rain.
I don't know.
Sunny. Sunny. Never mind. Not Shelley.
She says, I wanted to add a comment regarding the song Clementine. I realize that there might be regional differences in folk song lyrics, but here on the West Coast, we were taught that Clementine referred to the California Gold Rush in 1849.
What?
I learned the lyric that Mary quoted as met a miner 49er and his daughter Clementine. Not had nothing to do with North Carolina.
Oh, I do know that version too. Hold on. Oh my darling, oh my darling, oh my darling Clementine. Met a miner 49er, which I don't know what that means. Dreadful sorry.
Met a miner who was a miner, a 49er, someone who went to California for the gold rush in 1849.
Oh,
that's what 49er refers to.
Didn't know that.
So,
see, that part didn't make any sense to me. So I always just remember the North Carolina
one.
Let's see
what we got here. Hold on. Let's see if this works.
Okay, this is going to be the California one, I bet. Excavating for... Yeah, this will be the... Met a niner, a 49er, and his dog. Never mind.
So there you go. There's your Clementine.
There's a couple of versions of Clementine, I'm telling you. So that's what Shelley's saying.
That's what Shelley's saying. It is what
Not
it is.
Not Sunny, but Shelley.
All right, Linda Hyde says, hey, Mary and Blake, thank you so much for giving us some joy during this really tough period. Well, you are welcome.
You are
Linda.
Welcome, and I am glad to be talking about Outlander right now because I need some joy. We've had some technological difficulties.
Oh, my God, driving me crazy. All right, so episode 507 was a definite five kilts for her, but she can't do the GBG because everything was just so incredible. And one comment, and that's about the acting in this episode. It just goes to show you what can happen with great writing. Other Outlander writers, please, please, please take notes. The performances by the leading actors were stunning, especially Sam.
Agreed.
But we should not overlook the outstanding acting by the minor characters either.
Mm-hmm.
The one that stands out for
me... Not the 49ers.
The one that stands out for
minor?
Me is... Yeah, I got it. That was a lame. That was almost... That was dad joke level.
Listen, I am... I thought it was funny.
The one that stands out for Linda is Ned Dennehy, who plays Lionel Brown. Ned has instilled in his character a level of meanness and menace that I did not get from reading the book. I think we have all been focusing our attention on Stephen Bonnet, and rightly so. But we should not overlook the threat that Lionel poses to the Frasers and Claire in particular. Bonnet is a thinker and a planner, whereas Brown is an opportunist. He will impulsively strike when the moment presents itself. And I think that the way they've shown him watching and talking to Claire gives us a clue that we should be watching him closely.
Listen, that guy gives me the heebie-jeebies.
There's
right?
There's so many heebie-jeebies with him.
There was a guy who looked like him on the walking path this afternoon, and he was like walking behind me a little bit, and I had to keep looking over my shoulder because it freaked me out because I thought it was him, but it wasn't.
It wasn't.
No. But he gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Okay, so on Facebook, Hannah Jo Hilliard chimes in. She says, I feel like that the letter is the actual letter that Tryon wrote, the one that he reads in the episode. That's the real letter that he's reading. And she remembers it being in the book, and she actually thinks that Diana actually found the exact wording. Now, I don't know if this is 100% true,
But our friends on Facebook will know.
But I wouldn't be surprised if it were the real deal. I wouldn't be surprised if Diana actually did find the letter and did actually incorporate it into the book, number one, and then they took that and incorporated it into the show.
That would be a very Diana thing to do.
That would be the most Diana thing to do.
I would...
Terry Hughes says, yes, it is the real letter on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It is, in fact, the real letter, which, again, I wouldn't deny. I wouldn't say no. I would actually agree. What do you got? What's the next one?
On Facebook?
Yes.
All right. Hannah Jill Hilliard writes in, I feel like that letter... Oh, Blake.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I asked if I was supposed to be starting the Facebook, and you just said yes.
No, I said the next
you
one.
You didn't color code anything this time.
You don't color code the comments, you hoop.
Goodness gracious, Blake. This is like Outlander casting a whole new level. It's a listener feedback episode for sure, right? And I just want to like hold this. Goodness me. Allison Fisher, who is joining us currently on the West Coast trying to feed her wee bairns right now because it's dinner time over there. I saw it in a previous comment. She said, I wish they had just gone looking for him, not found him until next episode. Give Murta his time. He's barely cold before we're off finding Roger strung up. How do you feel about that, Blake?
I actually quite agree. I quite agree. And I'm not saying that it was wrong, but I kind of wanted to just sit with that moment. And I wanted to sit with Murta dying. And like they did allow Sam to act that bad boy out. They let that breathe. And I appreciate what they did with Murta's death because it was earned. But then you tack on the thing with Roger, and again, it feels so transparent to me that he's not dead that it's almost like, okay, what are we doing? Like, let's just don't give me the gotcha. Don't give me the aha. And then, but at the same time, make me have the real genuine feeling that I'm supposed to have for Murta. Would you agree or would you disagree?
Well, I feel... I loved this episode. Obviously, yes. I did. I gave it a 5+. Love, love, love this episode. Now that I've had some time to really like savor it even more, I do think that finding Roger there, you know what it is too? It's because you have a 2-week break. So it's like, dun, dun, dun. You know, it, really a true cliffhanger when we just sobbed our eyes out about Murta. I do feel like we were given a lot of time to cry about Murta.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that because of the way that the Roger stuff played out, you weren't crying about Roger. You cried a little, maybe like Roger continued, but the Murta flow, like the Murta flow of tears was so strong that maybe some Roger were sprinkled in there, but like you wouldn't know because there was a flood of Murta tears.
Right.
And the Roger tears didn't have their own moment to shine. And that's not to say you can't kill two people in an episode.
Mm-hmm.
You can. You certainly can. We've seen it done before.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't feel right to like appreciate and mourn his death the way that I feel like we got to appreciate in the sad sense, Murta's death.
Victoria Larkin here says, the show, she's just a show watcher. It was such a forced cliffhanger that I feel pretty sure that Roger ain't dead. And I kind of agree. And the reason why I kind of agree is actually this really cool thing that the creators did in terms of the writing and then in the directing. Normally when a character is going to die, they usually have a final goodbye moment. They usually have a final a heartwarming moment before they go off to battle. Or,
I think he had that.
They absolutely did.
Yeah.
He absolutely did.
Yes.
And what I'm saying is, it was so obvious that that's what they were doing with the longing looks between he and Bree, that at the end of the episode, it was almost like you were prepared for something.
Yes.
And if they turn that around and make him not dead, it's subverting that trope. Like, it actually reminds me quite a bit of... Do you remember in the last season of Game of Thrones?
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Remember the night before the big battle of Winterfell? They all sat around the table.
Oh, such a great episode.
It was the best episode of that season.
Yeah.
They sat around the table. They were drinking by the fire. and they were just talking about old times, and they all had these great moments together, and they were all kind of final goodbyes. Mm-hmm. And you expected all of them to die.
God, now, like, no one died.
Now, hashtag spoilers. Hashtag spoilers. No one died.
I mean,
well, I mean, there was one death.
There was one major death.
There was one big death. But for the way that it was played, no one died. And it was kind of like a moment where you were like, what the hell? So they subverted that on you. And I feel like Outlander is kind of doing the same thing here. All right. Actually, Victoria Larkin actually, no, I'm sorry, Tammy Lish Spencer chimes in. She says, all the credit scenes except for the buffalo have now been shown. Will we get new credits now? What do you think about that, Mary? What do you think?
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening?
No.
No. How come?
We're halfway through the episode, through the season.
Right, but if you recall, when they moved from France to Scotland, they changed the credits. When they moved from Jamaica to wherever, they from Scotland to Jamaica, we got new credits.
Are we going somewhere?
I don't think we're going anywhere, but the story has changed. It's changed from the regulators to a whole new thing. And I feel like that is... the history of the show has dictated that it likes to change the credits, the song, and all the other stuff. I think there's precedent for it to be changed. So I wouldn't be surprised. But I think... I don't know. I'm not 100% clear on that. I'm not 100% clear on that. Oh, actually, you know what? Jackie Harris here on Facebook says that there's a tarot card that we haven't seen, and there's also a beach as well. So maybe we won't get a credit change. Never mind. Never mind. I think we'll be okay. Ray Smith says, Blake, you disappoint me so much. LOL, Down the Rabbit Hole is the worst. It's literally the worst episode ever. Why would you want to watch that on Sunday? Because as you guys know, Mary and I are hoping during the break, because there is going to be a break for Outlander this week, we will not be getting a new episode this coming Sunday.
Correct.
Mary and I are hoping to do like a live Netflix party type deal where we can all watch an episode of Outlander together, and we can comment back and forth and have a great chat back and forth. And there is an idea of I put forth the idea of doing either The Battle Joined or Down the Rabbit Hole, simply because those were my two favorite episodes from season 3. There is a tad bit of controversy over Down the Rabbit Hole, as many people don't like it. And I still don't know why.
Blake.
I still don't know why.
Why won't you just go with like a crowd favorite? You know what? You can have your own Facebook watch party. It'll probably not work.
I feel like
Netflix watch party.
I feel like the Battle Joined is a crowd favorite, but that's just me. That's just me. Gloria Costa here says she liked the Down the Rabbit Hole. You know what? And that's fine. I'm okay with that. But Janine Audi says no, not Down the Rabbit Hole. It's horrible. Cindy Reed says, we do not mention Down the Rabbit Hole. Hashtag the one that shall not be named. You guys are great. You guys are awesome. Good job. Good job. What else we got, Mary? What's next? After Ray Smith, Christine Wilcox.
Christine Wilcox says, my outlandish theory.
Cue the sound. Oh, yes. You're right. You're right. Hold on. Where is it? I got to get it. Hold on. Here it is.
Christine says something will happen to Claire involving the Browns and her healing. They have been watching her, and I think they're setting something up. The one Brown brother is not a fan of Claire.
Oh, I like it.
When he smashed her syringe.
Oh, yeah.
First off, how do you clean that well? Like, do you really have a pipe cleaner that small? I mean, we're a big, like, stainless steel straw household. By well, we, I mean I.
Mary. Mary is.
And my kids. So, you know, I've been trying to teach Blake about how you got to clean the straws. You can't just throw them in the dishwasher. How would Claire clean that ceramic? Oh, I guess you could just kind of like pump it out, kind of like what we do with the kids' Tylenol.
Yeah, just get some water.
Soapy water. Yeah. Okay.
Push it right back
out.
But
nonetheless, when that broke, a piece of my soul broke for Claire.
Yeah, that was not great, Bob. I mean, really, that was not great, Bob. Hold
Carrie
on.
Lynn,
not great, Bob.
Truly. Carrie Lynn Beckin said, if Roger is really dead, I keep thinking Bree is going to be devastated for riding out to tell them about the history of the battle. If she hadn't gone, Jamie wouldn't have sent Roger to the Regulator camp. So here's a question for you.
Yep.
Roger,
mm-hmm.
if he's dead, can Bree do something in regards to time travel to fix that?
If Roger is dead?
If Roger is dead.
The show so far has posited that history cannot be changed. That's what the show has said. Granted, Claire has brought penicillin to the colonies, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean it's going to be a widespread thing like trying to stop the Battle of Culloden or trying to stop the Regulator Rebellion. Like, that, those are huge, massive events, and to prevent someone from dying is a huge, massive event. And to be honest, I don't want that to happen. I don't want the guy, I don't want anybody, if Roger's dead, I don't want him all of a sudden to just be alive again. Because they're going to have to show it, right? They're going to, like, you, Mary, you came up with a great idea the other day, which was they showed him hanging, well, not him, but a guy with his coat and a bag on his head hanging. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that he is in fact dead, which I know he's not because he can't be. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, that he is dead. They're not going to do what they did by showing him just dead hanging. They're going to have to go back and show how that all went down. You can't kill a major character like that off screen. You cannot do it. You simply cannot do it.
We will have Roger's point of view prior to what we got to see in the next episode, I believe.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So I think they're not going to just go from dead to, like, from nothing to being dead. They're going to have to show it. And if they're going to have to show it, either he's going to be dead and they're going to show it and they're going to have the emotional impact that you need in terms of the storytelling itself, or you're going to see that he ain't dead. But to just, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that he is dead, you cannot undo that.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't do that. You can't undo that. You can't.
Why not? If you can travel through time.
Because, again, bringing someone back to life is a massive event.
Future Roger isn't dead.
But you can't just take him back. Like, no. Future Roger is dead, potentially.
Not if you go a little before then. If you go to Boston Cream Pie.
Now you're getting in some serious Back to the Future stuff.
I know.
And it's going to make your brain hurt. You can't do that.
It's not her making
like,
mine
so you're
hurt.
Saying go back to like 19...
Boston Cream Pie Night.
Boston go back, Cream Pie Night.
Get a little piece of that pie because you know she's been dreaming about it at night because so she doesn't have it
so
anymore.
So potentially Bree goes back to Boston Cream Pie Night, sees past Bree, and then past
she
Roger.
She hides from past Bree.
Yeah, no.
Roger.
No. He's like, nope.
Please hand me a slice of that pie. And he's like, you just ate one. And she's like, I don't care.
Nope.
I've been dreaming about it.
Nope.
While I'm here, I'm going to use the toilet. And I'm going to listen to some records. And by the way, don't go anywhere near the Alamance.
Oh, no, you can't do that. Let's go. Somebody here says, I think Superman the movie covered this. Yes, Superman the movie did cover this. It's when Superman flew around the world and changed the world spinning and turned back time. Yeah, no, we're not doing that. I could thank the White Claws for this theory. But no, he's not dead. All right, we got an email from Aaron.
Bring it on, Aaron.
She says, a kilt rating of 4.9. Good. You know how people always gripe that the book is so much better than the movie? I love when a movie or television adaptation can stand on its own, like the Harry Potter movies, The Remains of the Day, or even...
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
The episode finally put Outlander in the same category for me. The show blew the books out of the water this episode. Blake was 100% right. What an incredibly rich payoff for keeping Murta alive. The bad. I give it a 4.9 rather than a 5 because of the cliffhanger. Damn them. What a cop-out. And the great Jamie begging Claire to save Murta. Remember when Jenny begged Claire to save Ian and how betrayed and angry she felt when Claire wouldn't? For all of Jamie's intelligence, for all he's done to understand Claire, her profession, and the science as she explains it, in that moment, none of that reality existed for Jamie. In that moment, Claire was his white lady, a fairy who could resurrect the dead if only he wished for it passionately enough. And I hope there's some fallout from the exchange next episode. I'd love to see a battle within Jamie between the kid who believed in fairies, to whom his godfather must have been seemed invincible, and the rational man that he's actually become. And as much as I'd hate to see this as a human being, I think it would create some great relational tension for him to have find a way to forgive Claire just as Jenny did, as irrational as that may seem to modern viewers. Yeah, I am in on this. I am well in on this idea. I love the idea of Jamie having to reason out, this idea of fairies and believing in it, and Claire and helping and trying.
I wasn't listening to you.
What is going on today?
Listen, I've got a lot of people texting through our complimentary text service because we had to restart the video. I don't really know what's going on. I think I want to move on from this.
Okay,
comment. Fine.
So, all right, Aaron, you're right. I like your idea. Okay, let's do the next one. Let's get the next one from Stephanie, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Thank you. Okay. Stephanie says, before this episode, I tried to fortify myself with a stiff drink and a big piece of pie. As a book reader, I thought I knew what was coming, and I thought I was ready to watch it all hit the fan. Turns out, I was not ready. Jesus H. Tap dancing Christ. Ooh, Stephanie's mixing it up. By the end of this thing, I needed another whiskey, a towel to mop my face, and some electrolytes. This was one of the best episodes in the series, and it comes as no surprise that it was the work of Tony Graffia.
That's right.
The woman knows how to use the source material to build the tension in the episode all the way through, so that by the end, we're completely wrecked masses of goo, sobbing under our woobies. Wobies?
Wait, hold on, I gotta see. Sobbing under our woobies. What in God's name is a wooby? Stephanie, what is a wooby? Oh, okay. Continue. What is going on?
Dinner fash.
What is happening?
I'm just gonna say book. Show watchers only, dinner fash, okay? If you're a little confused right now, just dinner fash. Just move on. Just carry on.
You're confusing me. You're just acting saying, all kinds of weird.
Aaron, gotta have a little email with me, Aaron. So what happens? I'm trying to juggle too many things. Too many things. I love you, Aaron, but we gotta have a talk.
Wooby is Elmo's blanket. Oh. Oh
my god.
Oh my god.
Okay. Oh my god, I was picturing boobs.
You know what?
You know, like when you get cradled in your mother's bosom when you're
between
crying.
Her whoobies.
That's what I thought it was. Just like that. A winner. And I was picturing it was like a matronly person with saggy boobs. So they were like
not boobies, they're whoobies.
I didn't know if that was a term. And I'm thinking in my mind, like, do I already have whoobies? Like, are my boobies whoobies by now? They're not perky. Nope. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm sweating.
This episode's gone to whoobies. So a whoobie is a blankie that you like snuggle under, I guess, that Elmo has.
Oh, my goodness
gracious.
So
sorry. I still love you, Erin, and I love you, Stephanie. We're here. We're here. In summary, Stephanie's kilt rating is all the kilts. All the friggin' kilts. Her good is Sophie Skelton's face at the end of the episode. Girlfriend's got some serious game when it comes to her expressions. And when she looked up at the noose, my stomach dropped. I knew the hanging was coming, and still Sophie absolutely gutted me. Her great was Katrina Balf. When Jamie carried Murtaugh into the tent and demanded she save him, she jerked back from Jamie, not from fear, but as if she was just slapped in the face by the horror in front of her. When she looked at Jamie, we knew what she was feeling, and I started to weep. As she said goodbye to her friend, she reminded us all that Murtaugh was the one person who'd been with her from the very beginning. I'm going to cry. Be with her from the very beginning, making his loss all the more devastating. And her best, Sam effing Heughan. If ever there was a man who woke up in the morning to piss excellence, it's this guy. That is a great quote.
Yes.
That makes more sense to me than whoopies. Look at this. We do not watch enough Sesame Street. Give him all the awards.
No, I piss excellence. I'll tell you that.
No.
I do.
Not today.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate you. Quarantine's really telling me how you feel about me.
Let me tell you, your tech skills today.
Not great.
Not the best.
not great, Bob.
Oh, my God. And for those of you who don't know, the thing that probably makes me the crabbiest is when technology doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
When technology doesn't work, when like my computer freezes and I just keep clicking the button, I go, it doesn't work. It's not working. And I'm clicking. It's not working. Like, I go to a land of crazy that should not be allowed. So when Blake's technology isn't working, oh, dear. He feels the wrath.
And then I'm like, Mary, just refresh it. You're fine. You're confusing it more.
Gotta calm down. Oh my God.
That's what she said.
Oh my God.
Jeffrey, get out of here. I told you, you can't come into the studio.
Stop, Jeffrey. I was wearing that shirt.
Yeah, you were wearing the premium woman shirt.
So, sorry. Stephanie says, give Sam all the awards. Everyone else gets off the stage. Thank you and good night. He proved once again that he is not just a pretty face, but an actor with tremendous range and talent. By the time he collapsed in front of the fire, it was completely done. Well past crying, just a heap of snot and tears. If this episode is any indication of what's to come, especially now that Sam and Kat are producers, sign me up. In the meantime, I'm going to get me some more pie.
I like the pie
comment.
What
kind of pie? Where's the pie, huh? Where's she at? What's she making in quarantine time?
Where is the pie hussy? She showed up and then she was gone.
I wish she was my neighbor. I'd be like, drop that pie off. I'll wait the 3 days so it's safe.
Does she do key lime pie or is she more of a traditionalist?
I would assume more of a traditionalist.
I feel like we would get some cherry pie.
I mean, cherries aren't in season, right? Pecan. They can do a pecan pie.
Are you a pecan person or a pecan person?
Pecan. Hold on. What's on top of the pie? I don't know. Pecans. A pecan. You gotta use it in context.
I think I'm a pecan person. Pecans. It's full of pecans.
You don't even eat them.
I like
you
pecan
pick
pie.
Them off. No, you don't.
I like pecan
Not
pie.
Not for reals.
Sure, I do. Tastes like brown sugar. You can't beat that.
Yeah, but you just eat the brown sugar bits. I see you. You take the goopy stuff in the middle with whipped cream.
I'll take a couple of pecans in there. Mm. I'll take a couple. I won't take the whole thing, but I'll throw some in there.
Okay.
Lumos is here.
Lumos is back.
All right. This one comes from Suzanne. She says she gives this one 5 kilts. The good was Jamie and Claire. Jamie believing Claire that could save Murtaugh, even though he was dead. I rarely cry at Outlander anymore, and I was bawling this time. There were no bads for this episode, so they're great. Jamie dropping the red coat at Tryon's feet,
yes.
And effing Graham McTavish. How did they keep that one a secret? And using the lines from the book, as Murtaugh dies, my sweet boy, which is the rough translation from Gaelic, it doesn't hurt to die. Then, waiting for the very end to reveal the Roger hanging, talk about a cliffhanger, pun intended, and I've read the fracking books. Stay safe and healthy. We listen to your podcast at the hospital. Some brightness in these
Guys,
uncertain times.
Yes,
lots
Suzanne.
Of love, Dr. Suzanne. You know what, Suzanne? Just for you, you get this.
Makes me wanna shout,
You make me want to shout, Suzanne. Thank you so much for getting out there and making the world a better place.
We need to send Suzanne a shirt.
You know what? That's a great idea.
Suzanne, send us your address. We're going to send you a little shirt that you can like change into
yep.
when you're getting out of your hospital garb.
Suzanne, you email me again. From where you email me this message.
Let me know your favorite type of pie. I will not make it, but I just want to know.
Just for the fun of it. And what I want to do is I want you to go to the Mary and Blake store and pick any one item from the Mary and Blake store, and I will send it to you. So that is that. Email me your home address and let me know you got this message, and you get a free thing. So that is that. From OutlanderCastClan.com, Mary, what do we got?
Maureen writes in, Reese is the best singing voice. He hit those notes perfectly. So glad he got to stay.
Oh,
thank you.
It's our little man.
I'm also a theater mom. Not really, but kind of.
Mary may or may not have been coaching our son.
Not on singing, but I was coaching him on his phone call to the governor's office. Do you want to let everyone know what I coached him to say?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
Okay. So the governor of Rhode Island put on a press conference today targeted towards children. And she said, if you want to submit any questions, please feel free. You can. So I coached my six-year-old son to ask how they were going to be graded and how they were going to make sure that it was fair, since some families have working parents and some families don't have the same technology. To which Blake said, Mary, you're such a Gryffindor. You're trying to make sure that grading is fair during a pandemic. And I...
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm like, I want it to be fair. I just want it to be fair for kids who like are at home with a nanny from like care.com right now who don't get to do all this stuff. So nonetheless, my son did a fantastic job.
Okay? He read the whole thing. Mary is teaching him the intonation.
Because he was reading it to like, hi, Governor, I'm Reese and I'm six. And I was like, no. Honey, you got to say it like it's a conversation. So, he did a great job.
I'm Reese,
and I'm six.
How's it going to be fair?
How's it going to be fair? Because some kids... His question was not asked live on television.
No, I wonder why.
There were 13,000 questions, and his did not make it.
All right, this one comes from Lynn Henderson. She says, the best episode ever. She even spelled it right. E-V-A-H. Ooh. Ever. I give it 5 kilts, all the feels. The good was the return of Graham McTavish as
yes.
Buck McKenzie. I would agree. At the first, I thought my eyes were deceiving me. What a great treat. The better was Jamie in the red coat. Oh, man. And when he took that coat off, if looks could kill, Sam just brought it in his
I
episode.
Wish he just had his like his ginormous pecs like pop it off. Yeah. Boom, 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 boom.
Then he had his dad's coat reappear.
Like a quick change. That'd be great.
Like somebody came over with the coat and put it on.
Yeah. And then that somebody made sound effects.
The better. Okay. But the great was Murtaugh and Roger.
Oh,
I knew Murtaugh was going to die, but I was not expecting it in this episode. And as a reader, I knew how the episode would end, and therefore I wasn't expecting Murtaugh to die in the same episode. In fact, I was worried that doing so would give the short shrift to both the Roger and Murtaugh stories. But they managed to hit a powerful 1-2 punch that left me speechless. This is Outlander at its best. The only bad here is now that we have to wait 2 weeks to see what happens next. Stars, you are killing us. I'd agree. I actually kind of like how they're just letting us sit with this death and the not knowing of the Roger whole thing, even though I hate the cliffhanger aspect of it. But I like the emotional being stuck in it. I'm in on it. I'm in. I think I like it. Mary, you ready for the voicemails?
Sure am.
All right, let's do it.
Blake, my name is Sarah, and I'm calling from Moore, Oklahoma, or better known as Tornado Alley.
Ooh. Hey, Sarah.
I'm a first-time caller, and after last night's episode, I had to call in. My journey with Outlander started whenever I realized after about 9 months that I had been paying for Stars through the Amazon Prime, And I knew I needed to get some money's worth, so I chose Outlander and started it. And my gosh, did I binge that so fast. My good from last night's episode was seeing Roger step up to take Murda the message that he would lose that battle. I also loved seeing Murda and Roger and their relationship. I forgot how much they cared for each other. My bad was seeing Jamie in that red coat. You could almost feel the ice going through his veins and his butthole clenching up because he looked just so uncomfortable. And my great was seeing Jamie care for Murda the way he did and toss him over his shoulder as he went out for help. You could see the desperation of him wishing Claire could bring him back to life, but that was a no-go and all of our hearts broke. I don't think that they killed off Roger just yet, or at least this is wishful thinking. I think someone took his white flag and hoped to wave it to save their own skin. Ooh. So hopefully Roger's still out there. I give this episode a 5-kilt rating. It's obvious. It's so great. It's the best one in a while. Thanks, guys, and have a great day.
Thanks, Sarah. Welcome to the family. I like this idea that somebody took the coat and thereby the white flag, and they were trying to wave the white flag in a way to like say, I surrender, don't kill me, and then they get killed anyway. I kind of like that idea, but I think it'd be better if it is, in fact, Roger that's hanging and he's not quite dead. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Like Princess Bride?
Yes. Anybody want to peel it? All right, let's do the next one.
Mary and Blake, hi, it's Marcia from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Marcia.
Talking about the Ballad of Roger Mack. I give this episode 5 gazillion kilts. It was all the feels.
Agreed.
So starting off with my good, Graham McTavish returns. And I was so thrilled to hear that melodic baritone. Oh, so cool to see him again. Mm-hmm. My great was all the sexy time. Boy, this episode had a lot of it.
Happy birthday.
You know, it started off a little weird. I'm sorry, this whole obsession that Jamie has with his wee Jamie now. I mean, what's up with that? Is that what happens when you turn 50 and you're a man?
It still works.
And then Claire singing happy
look at
birthday
it, it works.
To him like Marilyn Monroe when, you know, she's on the hobby horse. Come on. But my horse. Best, Sam Heughan's performance was bar none. I just thought it was so awesome. You could feel his anguish when he put that red coat on and how his character's posture changed so viscerally. And then that scene with Murtaugh, so heart-wrenching. And just you felt that pain along with the character. Excellent, excellent job. So guess we'll talk in 2 weeks. And I look forward to talking to you then. Bye for now.
Bye, Masha. Thank you so much for doing it. I think he does. I think he's just happy that Wee Jamie works. And you know what? That's okay.
Claire does not have whoobies.
No, she does not have whoobies. She is whoobie-less.
Yep. She's still boobies.
She's still boobies.
Hi, this is Ashley from Louisiana.
Hi,
I give
Ashley.
This episode a kilt rating of a big 5.
Woo-hoo!
I absolutely loved everything. My good was following up with Morag and reminding us of the time travel aspect.
Yeah.
I always love when the series revisits and reveals things from the past. My great was Jamie smarting off to Governor Tryon after Alamance. He reminded me so much of Claire whenever she forgets her place in this time. Jamie knows the future and he's reacting to what's happened at the battle and he's taking it out on Tryon. The way Claire has reacted so many times because of injustices of this time period. My best was Jamie's reaction to Murtaugh's death. We haven't seen Jamie really lose it very much. He usually keeps it together and he's pretty unwavering. But this was so raw and devastating and it really showed. Thanks so much, Mary Blake, for helping keep me sane during this weird time. I always look forward to your podcast.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad that we were able to help you out. And, you know, somebody said this a couple of weeks ago, and it's something that I really believe in. And it's not to pat us on the back because we don't deserve to be patted on the back. But it's just like for that particular person, we were the port in a heavy storm, the calm port in a heavy storm. And it's just nice to hear that, and it's nice to know that, at least for one person, we are that for them. And
I totally picture us being those, like, kind of, like, not so well put together, like Gloucester kind of port. You know what I mean? Like a little scrappy port, you know, where it's like, what's for dinner? I don't know. Leftovers. Like, come on in.
Why don't you go out to the shore?
We'll give you some shelter.
Go get the bucket. You'll see what's for dinner.
You're going to have to bunk with Bertha, but we got you. We got you. You know what I mean?
We got the lobster with one claw. That's the one that we got.
What do they call those again?
They put them in the ding and dent section.
The ding and dent. For those of you who don't live in New England, that's where you get your cheap lobsters.
Oh,
you go to the
yeah.
ding and dent bin.
You go to the ding and dent bin. You get like, you know, you get like
the 20 Island
pounds
of
lobster
toys.
For like $25. You can't beat it. It's the best. And sometimes you get a lobster with just one claw. Sometimes you get a lobster with like a massive claw.
We should be having lobster during this. The fishermen are still fishing.
That sounds like a
Can
great idea.
Can we have lobster dinner for Fancy Friday?
Abso-freaking-lutely.
There we go.
Let's do it.
So we're glad that we can be a scrappy port.
A scrappy port with with no real mooring. You know, it's just kind of floating on the water. That's what we have for you.
No,
guys.
It's like, you know, the perfect storm, like the bar that they're all in.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I picture when people when the person said that, when the listener said that, that's what I picture.
Yeah, we're the lady behind the bar serving the drinks.
Yep.
And they're like, she's like ripping butts and she's like, come on, what do you want? Fine. You want a cause? We don't have cause. We got Gansets. That's all we got. All right, let's do the next one.
Hi, this is Katie from Sacramento, California.
Hi, Katie.
My kilt rating for this episode is 4.8. I loved it. My good, Roger. I feel when he steps away from Bree is when Roger really shines. He was believable throughout this episode, and I cheered when he punched William Buckley. Roger needed a moment like that.
Mm-hmm.
My bad is I think the season has suffered by not having Jamie's decision to muster a militia and cooperate with Tryon be met with more opposition. I wanted someone, whether it be Claire, Roger, Murta, or even Jamie himself, to call into question how Jamie can support a crown he has fought against his whole life. Britain is a villain in Outlander, and to watch Jamie trade land for his family and his honor has been a hard pill to swallow.
Mm.
Even though every episode mentions his ambivalence, he should have been tortured by his decision. I feel like the whole first half of the season missed a chance to create real and believable drama. My great, when Jamie put on his red coat and stood in formation with it on, wow, it was a perfect representation of how out of sync he is with his own character and morality. He soon reaps the ultimate consequence of his decisions with Murta's death, and I think this was Sam Heughan's best acting in the whole entire series. I got all the feels. I look forward to the rest of the season and hope it is
Looks like you got caught off.
But you were right there, so
we
know
what
you're saying.
Katie, I appreciate you, and this is what you're getting.
Bam! Just like that. A winner!
You call back anytime. You're bringing the heat with that take.
Her voice is so tranquil. It kind of reminded me of the sleep stories that I listened to on the Calm app.
Oh, yes.
Highly recommend that. If any of you like to like fall asleep to a story that sounds like Katie speaking about like lavender fields, which I know lavender is a sore subject for us to listen to.
Yes.
But anyway, Calm app, huge fan. Katie, your voice is melodically beautiful.
Oh, look at you bringing out the nerd stuff.
I mean, not really. Thanks.
Nerd!
Melodically beautiful.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the fact that I listened to a meditation app to fall asleep. That's nerdy.
Well, that's nerdy too. You know
These
what?
Are tough times, Blake.
Tough
times.
Well,
hello from the Highlands of Scotland.
Hey, Kirsten's here.
Giving you my take on the episode. The good. Graham McTavish's cameo. Just bra to see him play Buck. It gave a whole new dimension to the character. And didn't he play him perfectly as a sleek at Bampot? Especially loved the phrase, curry into like a common Raj. Scots slang hasn't changed. The bad. Hard to find fault in such an exceptional episode, but it ripped my knitting that Claire was so glacket she only brought one syringe through the stones.
Yes!
Really, lass? Couple of things made me smile. The militia's 18th century A-team fighting style, where for a few seconds nobody was killed, and Tryon's scene where he says, their course is set, so is mine.
Mm.
Did anyone else get a
you'll be back.
Oh.
I will fight the fight and win the war.
F- for vibe. Your love.
Kirsten, the great. Yes. Everything Sam acted, each second on screen, he was breathtaking. Easy to see why he said it was his favourite episode. Jamie losing Murta, his rock, his tether to Scotland, was very raw. As Murta said, dinna be afraid. It doesn't hurt to die.
Oh.
But it does to go on living. That's all from me. Cheerio.
Kirsten. Stay safe. This is why you are a Hall of Fame caller. You're going to multiple levels here. You're doing multiple references all at once. And just for you, just for you. Here comes the General Washington. Thank you for bringing Hamilton into this podcast. I'd love to find a way to bring in Hamilton every single episode, but people would get annoyed. So thank you, Kirsten, for doing it. That was excellent. Great job.
Just so you know, people on Facebook are saying they use the Calm app as well.
You're all nerds.
No. And Amy Garcia likes ASMR. Hashtag all the tingles, I gotta say.
Oh.
I think you are sensitive to ASMR since you do that.
Hi.
No. This is what we're the one that we saw with them eating weird food.
Like candied strawberries. We're watching some lady eat candied strawberries for like... Mary's like, this is so cool.
I didn't say that. I said, this is crazy that this is what people do. But then again, we podcast about a TV show. People record themselves eating food.
Oh, it's weird. All right, let's get the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Sharon calling from Chicago.
Hey, Sharon.
First off, your little guy is adorable.
Oh,
and
thank
you. He can sing so well.
Thank you.
That was lovely to hear.
Thanks.
I'm going to give this episode a 5, just like Mary. Finally, what I've been saying all year. Roger sacrifices himself for others. And boy, didn't they show how good he is and what a sweetheart he is. So looking forward to hearing more about his character arc. All right. So I finally agree with Blake about the regulator thing. As you know, I've not been a fan. I was so worried they were going to fumble that storyline. I needed to have...
Sharon, welcome to the dark side. Welcome.
Have more faith. Hooray, Tony. Thank you. Thank you. I was ready for Murtaugh to die all season, so it didn't hit me as hard. Jamie's reaction is what got me,
yes.
Especially when he was by the campfire all by himself. Oh, Sam is such a good actor.
Yep.
My good was Claire and Jamie in bed. That's the couple we all know and love. It was funny and heartfelt. You know, and there were so many layers to this episode. I think I could talk about it for a solid hour and not draw a breath. I think I just agree with all of you guys about what was good. The red coat thing with Jamie was just heartbreaking, and all the acting right in his face.
Yes.
You could just see it. He didn't even have to say anything. I could just feel that coat burning on his shoulders. Thanks, guys. You're wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, Sharon. I appreciate that. Good job.
Hi there, it's Amy from Dallas giving this week's episode a 4.9 kilts.
All right.
I want to say thank you. I look forward to your podcast so much that I've stuck with Outlander even though I've been less enthused with seasons 4 and 5.
Oh, wow.
The episode this week really reminded me of why I loved Outlander in the first place, and I feel very optimistic for the back half of the season. I love how this episode revealed the consequences of so many choices and actions our hero Jamie has made over years. The obvious ones being instructing the boy not to hesitate, and how essentially selling himself out to Tryon snowballed and culminated into such a tragedy. But there are actions that go further back. His gruff disapproving of Roger, I think, is part of why Roger stepped up and delivered the message.
Okay.
Jamie prays to his war chief Dougal, whom he betrayed and murdered. I think Dougal's spirit worked against Jamie. While Jamie didn't lose in battle, he lost in what really mattered.
Mm.
Additionally, Dougal's son appears out of nowhere and harms Roger. Coincidence? The most upsetting is that despite everything they've been through, Jamie is trying to change history again by preventing Murtaugh from fighting. Had Jamie not been looking for Murtaugh, had Jamie not hesitated, Murtaugh wouldn't have come out to save him and then wouldn't have been shot. Murtaugh falls into Jamie's arms just like Blackjack did at Culloden. In the end, the man Jamie loves most in the world died a violent death no better than his greatest enemy. Only this time, Jamie was the one in the red coat. Thanks, guys. Can't wait to hear more next week. Bye.
Amy.
Makes me want to shout.
excellent. That's all I'm going to say. Excellent, excellent, excellent. You, that was freaking awesome.
Where's Amy from? Because she said she's from Dallas, but she doesn't sound like she's from Texas.
Well, maybe she ain't from Texas. Maybe she just lives in Dallas.
I know.
You know, I don't know. Could be.
I don't know if people in Dallas have accents.
Well, you ever hear Jerry Jones talk?
Who's Jerry Jones?
Owner of the Cowboys?
No.
Oof. That man's got an accent.
So do
He's
you.
He's got a worse so accent I. than I do.
Hey, Mary and Blake. This is Carrie calling from Muscoota, Illinois.
Hi, Carrie.
I'm a longtime listener, a sometimes email commenter,
okay.
and a first-time caller. I must tell you guys, I love your podcast.
Thanks
for all you do.
Oh, thanks.
My kilt rating for this week's episode is a 5. I thought it was just perfect. It was awesome. I don't usually give a 5, but this one was really worth it. My good for this week was Claire and Jamie's pre-war connection. Mm. Their conversation, their interactions, their intimacy, the good luck soldier
yes.
scene. It was just fantastic.
Yes.
I loved it. My better was Jamie's redcoat scenes, the before the battle when Tryon forced him to take it and wear it, and the after when he threw it down at his feet after he realized it wasn't worth it. And my best was Myrta's death scenes. There were so many tears, so many feelings, the connection between Jamie and Myrta, their interaction, and then just the way Jamie reacted
Yes.
with Claire and all his sadness and anger and angst. It was fantastic.
It was.
I wondered if you noticed after Myrta's death and all the way to the end of the show that Jamie had Myrta's blood on his hands. It was a little detail that I noticed, and I thought it was really poignant that they had that way all the way to the end of the
mm-hmm.
episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, thanks for all you do. Hope you're doing well. Take care.
Thank you.
Listen to you next time.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I did notice that detail. It's something that I wish we had actually brought up in the original podcast. But thank you for calling it out here. That's excellent.
Yes.
Let's get the next one.
Hey, friends. It's Janine from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Janine.
Oh, my Lanta. Did this roller coaster ride just pick up?
From
that name
house.
From The Simpsons where the kid's on the bus saying, "I'm in danger." Well, that was me the whole whole episode. I did love the parallels between this battle and the Battle of Press and Pans. The music, the fog, the shaky
yes.
camera angle
yep.
all echoed it. The only thing that made this one more epic was you had no idea who the clear enemy was.
Mm.
Now it's time for Janine's random thoughts. The opening scene where someone's writing the Ballad of Roger Mack, was that from Days of Future Past,
Ooh.
Or is that foreshadowing a Back to the Future moment?
Ooh.
I loved how Claire pulled a Marilyn Monroe on Jamie with her own rendition of Happy Birthday, Mr. President. And why did Jamie's cut have to be so big on his hand? I'm
Seriously.
Just here thinking, Jamie, you're getting blood all over your clothes.
Seriously.
Say I, if you're now hoping that Brianna's riding coat gets added to the Outlander collection Hot Topic. Anyone?
When
Tryon says, fire on them or fire on me, you know that some of them were wanting to raise their hands and say, wait, is that an option? And then there was the heart-wrenching moment where Murtaugh says, don't worry, it doesn't hurt a bit to die. You could see it written on Jamie's face, but it does hurt to go on living without the dead. All right, that's all I have for you guys today. Until the next one, stay sexy, don't get corona.
Thank you, Janine. Oh, I'm always sexy. I'm always sexy. Always.
That's what she said.
Stop it, Jeffrey. Get out. Out. I told you can't get in here anymore. Where's the god? The god's doing a bad job.
Lumos, the
guard. Yeah. Lumos the cat doing a bad job. Jeffrey's sneaking in here. I don't like it. All right, let's do the next one.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Lisa from Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Ooh. Greetings.
Hello.
First of all, I wanted to say I really enjoy listening to you guys. I've been watching Outlander now for a little while on Netflix, but mm-hmm. this season is the first season that I'm able to listen and watch together with you
Yay.
Guys. So,
really
Excellent. Cool. About the episode, I don't have a GBG per se, because I think you guys already mentioned so many things, and I totally agree, but I want to open a topic. Have you guys noticed that there's not much love between Bree and Jamie? I've been looking at them now for a few episodes thinking, come on, dance together on the wedding,
yes.
or give each other a hug when going away, or even this episode with Myrta dying and Bree walking away, and later Bree standing there on the edge watching for Roger, Jamie walking up to her, and nothing. There was no hug. There was no consoling. I wonder why Outlander is doing this. Do you guys have a opinion about this? Thank you.
Mary, what's your take?
You know, it's funny because in the show, I've just seen that as their relationship, like mm-hmm. as who they are. Mm-hmm. I don't see Jamie as being like a big hugger of people aside from Claire. Like he's obviously very PDA with Claire. They're always touching each other. So I just see it more as a thing of that this is their personality types, that they're not really warm, fuzzy, huggy people. And yep. I see Bree kind of the same way as Jamie. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I found it odd as I just saw as this is their personalities in the show.
Sure.
Because I'm not like particularly huggy with my family.
No, you're not.
Even when like things are tough and sad.
You're not even really particularly huggy with me.
Yeah, I'm just not like a huggy person.
And what I suspect is Jamie and Bree are still feeling each other out. Like, you got to consider the fact that, like, these two, they haven't been
together. Have you found it weird? Because maybe I haven't because that's kind of how I am.
No, I mean, I haven't found it weird. The way that I just interpreted it was that they're still figuring each other out. They're still, like she's only been around for, like, a year and a half or two at most. And it's like, okay, this is my dad, but he's not my dad because my dad was Frank and he's dead and, like,
and maybe because it didn't have like the huggy closeness with her as a young person. Now she's a grown woman. She's a mother.
Right. He's the father, but he ain't dad. I said that actually back in the Down the Rabbit Hole episode. Jamie's the father, but he ain't daddy. And I think that's a big deal. All right, let's get the last one in.
Hello, this is Lauren from North Carolina.
Hi, Lauren.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks, Lauren.
My kilt rating for this episode was a 5. As a book lover and show watcher, I was so happy that much of the battle and dialogue was faithfully portrayed, especially the birthday scene. I have bullied my husband into watching the show. He's not Claire's biggest fan, but he admitted that this episode was pretty good, which made me say, just you wait. As for my GBG, my good would have to be Roger's storyline. I love Book Roger, and his scenes were so good in this episode. And I admit that even though I knew it was coming, his final scene left me with as much anxiety and heartbreak as it did while reading it. And to get Graham back as Dougal and Galus' son was such a great Easter egg treat.
Yeah,
I don't really have a bad, except maybe the battle scene seemed a bit choppy. I recently visited Alamance Battlefield since it's so close to my home to get amped for this episode. I recommend following the site's Facebook page as they were hoping for an uptick in visitors, but the virus has affected this as it has everywhere else. My great, although it's really not great, Murtaugh's death. As we all know, this didn't happen in the books, but it played as if it did. Dare I not say it could have? Between Jamie's anguish, Murtaugh's final words, and Claire's look of despair, I was wiping away tears, which I haven't done in a while watching an episode. All in all, a great episode of Outlander, and I'm looking forward to the Grandfather Mountain Games here in North Carolina this summer to continue what my husband calls my Outlander obsession, as long as the coronavirus hasn't also canceled that. Thanks, and stay safe.
Thank you very much, Lauren. I really appreciate that. Marvin, that is the end of all the voicemails. Got any closing takes? Because we didn't do opening takes today, so we got to do closing takes.
You can go first.
All right, my closing take is this, and actually Lauren brings it up. The battle scene, as much as I loved this episode, if I really had to go and analyze it, I think the battle scene was only competent. I think it was only decent in terms of how it was directed. I think there was a lot of awkward use of slow-mo. And it felt like it was put in... it wasn't designed to be slow-mo. I felt like it was put in like, you know, post-production. And, you know, it is what it is. It was just very plain. And I just wish we had a little bit more. There was that one effect where we had like the guy running in next to the tree and he gets blown up. He gets blown away from the tree. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
And like, that's about it. And I don't want it to be flashy or anything. Like, it was competently done. I knew the geography. I knew where we were standing. I knew which direction that we were going. But it just wasn't, it didn't blow my doors off. I just thought it was a mediocre. Like I think back to Preston Pans and that too was shot like in a way that was interesting, but what they did was really cool. How they did it,
with all the fog and everything, that was awesome. That was a very interesting choice. I wish they had done something similar. Like even the Battle of Culloden, they made a really interesting choice, heightening all of the different colors, mm-hmm. and then making the really cool choice of having the whole battlefield dead,
yeah.
and the only people that are alive left are Jamie and Blackjack Randall.
Yes.
Like, obviously, we know that's a heightened reality. We know that that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool choice.
Mm-hmm.
Outlander has not shied away from these choices, so I wish they had made a choice like that. All right, closing take. I've given you enough time. What do you got?
I'm having a tough time that we're having a two-week wait. I'm not going to lie. But I am loving all of these conversations. I'm really, really excited for this back half of this season. This episode by far reinvigorated so much fire in a lot of the Outlander fandom that I did feel like was starting to dampen out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I do fear that some people who have not been able to fully be on the Roger train may have missed out on some Roger just sweetness. Mm-hmm. But all I could tell you is that he was a sweet, sweet man. So we're just going to have to hold on tight together and wait this out and do some rewatches during the two-week hiatus and then come on back April 5th, right?
Yep. No, not April 5th. It's the following week. So April 12th.
Never mind.
So
Easter.
Easter. Yes. Easter Day. All right. You ready to do the trailer for the next episode?
Yes.
All right. Let's
do it. So warning for those of you who don't like the trailers, we're going to watch the trailer.
All right. Hold on. I'm bringing it up.
Oh,
here.
Look at that face that Claire has. Oh, my goodness.
Can I win not husband and wife?
Just to make the pain any less. Governor Tryon has granted you 5,000 acres in the backcountry.
Why?
Perhaps he thinks he can buy you forgiveness.
I don't need land. I need my husband back.
Marsley!
Have you prescribed anyone some water hemlock?
No. Why?
It's just that some missing. There's only one root left.
Take Jamie and go to the cabin. Now.
Oh.
Okay, hold on. I want to
go back to the beginning.
He thinks he can
hold on.
Buy you
I don't need land. I need my husband back.
All right, okay. Time out in the background here.
Yep.
That's Roger. That's Roger.
You don't think that could be Fergus?
Nope. That's a possibility.
To me, that looks more like Fergus.
That's a possibility, but that looks like Roger to me. And you want, like, I feel like they're...
Or Bonnet?
Definitely not Bonnet. No way.
To me, it looks Fergus-y. I feel like...
It's Fergus-ish.
Can't see the other hand.
You'd be able to know he's not really frontier chic right now. That's the problem. He's just got a coat, and that looks like Roger to me. I'm telling you, that's Roger. Guy's alive.
Who else are we missing?
There's a chance. It's not Jamie because he's too.
No, that's
he's
not
too,
Jamie.
He's too slight. It could be Fergus, but it just doesn't have that feel.
Maybe someone who loves to patrol Pinterest.
Another one, I was just going to say, it could be Lord John. There's a potential.
Wedding season might be wrapping up. His calendar may be open.
Could be Lord John, but it feels like Roger. I don't know. All right, let's go back to the beginning again.
Martin, I will not. Husband and wife.
Just to make the pain any less.
That's right, Jamie.
Governor Tryon has granted you 5,000 acres in the backcountry.
All right, time out.
Look at Jamie's eyes. He's like, I don't know how to share this news with you right now.
Yeah, that was good.
Jocasta.
Oh, Jocasta. You know she's deep down hurting. She's deep down. That woman has gone through a lot of pain, man. A lot of pain. Losing all them husbands. Losing her kid, now losing Murta, losing her eyes. Like, she's got a lot of stuff going on.
So much.
Lots of pain. Okay, here we go.
Why? Perhaps he thinks he can buy you forgiveness.
I don't need land. I need my husband back.
Marsley!
Have you prescribed anyone some water hemlock?
No.
Okay, so...
What's going on here, Blake?
Looks like somebody wants to get poisoned.
You know what I... the first thing I thought about...
What's that?
It's in Harry Potter when they're running low on gillyweed.
Hold on. Wait. Time out.
You're a wizard, Harry.
And Snape's like, Potter.
And...
Nerd!
Have you been trying to make... No, he was running low on all the stuff that he needed because Mad-Eye Mooney, you know, to the potions, but Snape was blaming it all on Potter.
Yep.
Have you been making have you been going into the potions pantry?
All right,
Marcy, she's like, no.
What are you talking about? I didn't do anything. All right, that's a face.
Why? It's just that some missing. There's only one route left.
Take Jamie and go to the cabin. No.
What is coming out of that woods?
All right, something is coming out of the woods. Can't be a bear because they've already done the bear thing. Can't be a wolf because they've already done the wolf thing. So it's got to be an animal of some sort. It ain't a person. I don't think it's a person because Jamie wouldn't have done that knowing it was a person. It's got to be an animal of some sort. And I wonder what that's going to cause. And like, you know what that kind of gives me like a feeling of? Do you remember 24? When they ran out of stuff for Kim Bauer, the Jack Bauer's daughter,
yeah,
to do.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, what are we going to have her do? And they had her walking in the woods and a mountain lion showed up.
Yeah.
But nothing ever happened. It was just a mountain lion.
Not great.
That's what I feel like is going to happen here. So I could be wrong. Could be wrong. Don't know. But we might get a mountain lion syndrome on this one. That is that, I don't know. That's just me. What do I know? I don't know. I don't know too much.
I just have to stay so quiet. I just have to like look away, stay quiet about things in this trailer, as do all book readers.
Oh my God. All right. You ready to close out this bad boy?
Yes, I am.
You got anything else for this?
No, but just know that even though we're going to be having a little hiatus, Blake and I will still be doing some fun things this upcoming week.
Yes. Oh, and if you do want to vote on what we should watch, maybe we'll put up a poll.
On Netflix.
We'll put up a poll in the clan. How's that sound? We'll put up a poll and we'll give you some options.
And you need to have a Netflix subscription.
Yes.
And I think, do you have to access it through a laptop or desktop? You can't do it on a device? Is that what you figured out?
You should be able to... you should be able to.
We're
going to
figure this out. We're trying it out tonight or tomorrow night on how we can do this Netflix watch party.
Okay.
I have the hiccups. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh. That means you've been drinking.
Not really.
All right. Let's do it.
In a cave.
Blake.
We're playing it again. We have to close out to this song.
Fine.
We have to.
I mean, I wouldn't choose this version.
Well, I mean, I found the first version I saw on YouTube.
This is not a great version.
It's not bad. I mean, it's not great.
Nah.
See, it's not great, but it's not terrible. It's not like me singing it. All right, so everybody, go to marianblake.com. Check out all of the podcasts that we have there. Go to outlandercast.com and check out the podcast and all the blogs that we have there from all the fantastic writers that we have going on. If you want to be official member of the Outlandercast clan, just go to outlandercastclan.com and you can be an official member there and get access to all of the great things that we have going on over there, including the After Doc show, which is what we will be doing right after this, since we promised it last episode. And so if you guys who are watching live at this very moment, if you want to go to outlandercastclan.com to watch us, please do so. That's it. That's all I got.
We want to thank all of the members of the Outlander Cast staff for cranking out the content no matter where they are in the world. Thank you so much. Once again, we have incredible blog posts up right now. You can head on over to outlandercast.com to check those on out. We also want to thank our patrons from outlandercastclan.com. You yourself listening right now can join outlandercastclan.com for as little as $2 a month. It really goes towards the production of this website, of this podcast. It keeps it going, especially in times like this. If you are supporting local small businesses, hopefully you'll think of us as a local local business, even if we are far away. You can find out more at OutlanderCast.
We're a small business.
We are a small business, and so we appreciate any and all support, especially during times like these. OutlanderCastClan.com is a place to go to learn more. And we want to especially thank our most generous patrons, Angie, Candy, Carolyn, Celine, Christine, Dawn, Diane, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Karen, Marilyn, Maureen, Siobhan, Stephanie, Valerie, as well as our co-producers, Amanda, Ann Lee, Barbara, Dana, Janet, Keelan, Lori Ellen, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Sharon, Tina, and Whitney, and last but certainly not least, our executive producers, Ann, Bobby D., Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadra, Peg, and Sarah.
And Gavin chimes in here. She says that there's a great post on the blog about Murta. That's right, because Anne wrote it, and I want you to go read it, because it is amazing.
We talked about it earlier in this episode, but seriously, if you are a Murta lover, you have to go check it out. Yep. Like, no joke, head on over, outlandercast.com. And thank you, thank you, thank you for keeping us company, everybody. We truly appreciate it. We will be back with some more fun stuff during the hiatus.
Hopefully.
We will, no matter what. Yeah. Yep.
Remember, so we're going to put up a poll in the Outlander Cast Clan on Facebook, the group, and we'll give you some choices, and you can choose from that poll. And whatever wins in that poll will be the one that we watch on Sunday. And then maybe we'll do a
live. It needs to be seasons 1 through 3.
It has to be seasons 1 through 3, since it has to be on Netflix. So that's that. All right. Let's go.
Thanks, guys.